Hi everyone. This is Right Bit of Kit, or just Kit is also fine. And this is my AMA. First, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who, first of all, is following me. I just checked my follower count before I started recording. On Reddit, there are 109 of you, which is absolutely crazy for me to think about that there are 109 people following my little account where I post my little scripts. But you guys have all been so supportive of me, and I really, really appreciate every single one of you, all the comments, all the upvotes, everyone reading my scripts, and of course, everyone filling them. I really appreciate all of you, so thank you so much. Okay, so for this first section, I thought I would kind of just talk about how I came to GWA, answer questions about my scripts and writing and all of that kind of stuff. I'm just gonna kind of combine all these questions into me just telling you everything because it all kind of works in together. And then in the second part, we will do the like more fun personal questions. So GWA questions first. So how I got here, how I got involved in the community. I actually didn't even know audio erotica was a thing until maybe like 7 or 8 months ago. I just kind of happened upon audio erotica online and eventually in like seeking that out made my way to GWA and obviously all the other related subreddits. And then once I sort of got here and was exploring the subreddits, I was still using my personal Reddit account and just kind of listening to audios here and there. But as I got more into it and more involved and like wanted to start like following certain performers or certain scripts or whatever, and I wanted to be able to comment on things, I decided to make a separate Reddit account just for GWA related things. I created the Right Bit of Kit account that we all know now. And at first I really only intended to listen to audios, to be able to save audios and follow people and occasionally comment on something. I really wasn't planning on contributing to the community in any way. But I started to realize that a lot of my favorite audios were being written by the same people. I kept seeing the same usernames pop up saying, oh, this was written by this person, this was written by this person, and I started looking into their work and following them so that, you know, I could see when a new script was coming out and I could follow it and then I could know when it got a fill and things like that. So that's what kind of introduced me to the script writing side of things. I started really getting interested in the writers that I liked and reading their stuff. And I talk about these two people all the time, so they are probably expecting me to mention them. And even if they're not, I'm going to anyway, because they're both such great writers and such great human beings. Two of the writers that really inspired me even before I started doing all of this are Bonsoir Anxiety and Sloth215. Excellent writers, excellent human beings. If somehow you're following me and not them, please check out their stuff because they are incredible. So I started following them, and as I was listening to audios, I started thinking, you know, of different scenarios and things that I might like to hear an audio about. And that kind of led me to say, well, maybe I should try writing a script and see how that goes. So I had a couple of ideas that I kind of kicked around for a little bit. I wrote my first script, I posted it, and then I just kept writing scripts, and now here we are. So there are some questions about how I get inspired for my scripts, how I get inspired to write them, and where I get the ideas and things like that, and whether it's personal or if they're fiction, if they draw on past experiences, things like that. So I will say that probably 99% of what I write is complete fiction, purely things that I imagined on my own. I will say that I do occasionally pull details from either people I've known or things that have happened to me or places I've been, things like that, and I will kind of use those if I think that they are helpful or relevant, but no one script is like based on a thing that has happened to me. My first script probably has the most of that. There's the most personal details in that script, and like obviously I've changed things around a little bit so that I'm not like completely identifiable. There are like a couple of things in there from my past or, you know, people I've known or whatever that I kind of added in there just for, you know, storytelling. But for the most part, it's all complete fiction. So the way I get inspiration for my scripts, it kind of happens a couple of different, very specific ways. So the first way that very occasionally happens, and I'm very lucky when it does, is I will just kind of be struck by something and think, oh, hey, that would make a good script. My best example of that is the No One Rides for Free script. I remember one day I heard the phrase gas, grass, or ass, which obviously, you know, I've heard that before. That wasn't my first time hearing it. But this time it kind of triggered something in my brain, and I was like, oh, like that would be a really fun idea for a script if, you know, the speaker was giving the listener rides and kind of like playfully suggested the gas, grass, or ass, and then, you know, the listener kind of called his bluff. So that was a really fun script to write because it was just kind of an idea that came out of nowhere, and I was able to kind of bring it to life. So that was fun. The second major way that I get inspiration for my scripts is from songs. So I will sometimes completely base a script on a song, and sometimes I'll just kind of use a song as the inspiration and like the same kind of feel that I want the script to have. You probably notice if you are a big music person that a lot of my titles are song lyrics. So sometimes the song that the lyrics are from is what the script is based on, and sometimes it's just something that I think kind of matches the mood, and I will pull a song lyric for that. My best example of that, at least one person I know guessed that Leave Him For Me is pretty much completely based on Leave Your Lover by Sam Smith. And what I tend to do is once I've kind of matched up a script and a song, I will listen to that song on repeat while I'm writing that script, just to kind of keep me in the right, like, emotional state and headspace, keep me on task. So I listened to Leave Your Lover so many times. My Spotify recommendations are all jacked up. It's like my number one listened to song because it took me a little bit to write that script, and anytime I was working on it, I was listening to that song on repeat. But it works, so. And then Bonsoir Anxiety did ask whether I look to songs for inspiration or if I get inspired while randomly listening to music. So it's a little bit of both. Sometimes I will just be listening to music and think, hey, like this song would make a good script. And then sometimes it's like, hey, I want to write a script. Let me look through songs that I enjoy and see if anything inspires me. So sometimes it's one and sometimes it's the other. It's about equal. And then the third pretty solid way that I get ideas for scripts. I don't know how many of you were on Tumblr back in the day, but in the like fan fiction adjacent community, there were a lot of these posts where they would list out alternate universe ideas for fandoms. So this is where your like coffee shop meet cute fan fiction comes from, is like this kind of idea. So I do have a background in fan fiction. Neon Martian asked if I've ever written fan fiction. I have, and I do, not as much now, but I do still write a little bit. And I've done a lot of things that I would consider like fan fiction adjacent. Not like writing a whole fan fiction, but sometimes like collaborative work and things like that. So I love those AU post, because it'll be a post of like just a whole list of little scenarios, and I have found that they make great audio erotica scripts. So my example for that one is More Than This, Whatever It Is, the whole beginning part about the bus breaking down and it being storming and having to go to, I believe it was an enemies to lovers thing, and I switched it to exes to lovers, but having to go to, you know, someone's house that probably isn't going to be happy to see you, and asking for shelter from the storm. And then I, you know, kind of expanded on it from there. But I have a whole Pinterest board where I just keep all of those posts handy, so that if I'm feeling like I need a new idea, I can go there, and I kind of just have them all listed out, ready to go, and they really do make for great scenarios. So those are the three major ways that I get ideas for my scripts. So X_Leah asked, what is my favorite script I've written or one I'm most proud of? So it's impossible to pick one favorite script. There are things that I like and dislike about every single one of them, but the script that I'm probably most proud of right now is my most recent one, and I'm not sure if it's going to be posted by the time I post this. If it's not, it will be coming soon. And if it is, then you may have already read it. It's called A Place Beyond the Pies, and I am really proud of that one because it was a request, specifically requested from me, and I had never done a request like that before, so it was a big challenge, and it really kind of brought me out of my comfort zone, and I am pretty happy with how it turned out, so I'm pretty proud of that. So that's probably the script that I'm the most proud of at the moment, but it changes all the time. Bonsoir Anxiety asked, what other genres or topics would you like to write about that you haven't tackled yet? So most of my scripts are kind of in the same vein. There is a lot of like friends to lovers, BFE type of stuff. Lots of like sappy, romantic, big romantic confessions, things like that. So pretty much anything that's outside of that immediate vicinity is fair game for me right now. I really do want to kind of try to expand my horizons a little bit and try some new things and just kind of challenge myself a little bit. You probably won't see me writing much, if any, like really hard kinks and things like that. I'm not, that's not so much my thing, and I don't know that I could necessarily do it justice just because it's not my particular cup of tea. But I would like to try to expand a little bit. I do have a script in the works right now that I am hoping will turn out to be very sad, but I'm not sure because I have yet to successfully write something really sad, so we'll have to see how it goes. But yeah, my goal is to just kind of explore a little bit further outside of my comfort zone and take it from there. Logos Omancer asked, what scripts are you working on right now? So I am recording this on November 10th. So at least for me, we are squarely in winter holiday / Christmas season. So everything I'm working on right now is holiday themed. I haven't even really thought past the holiday yet. And I'm, you know, all of the like Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, the whole, you know, wintry holiday season. I have too many ideas. I will not be able to write a script for every idea that I have. So I'm just kind of going with whatever's pulling me at the time. So we'll see. I'm not 100% sure how many I'll get done or which ones will actually come to life and get posted. But I would like to get, you know, probably at least three holiday type scripts out, and then once the holidays are over, then, you know, I'll just have to see where I'm at and what's inspiring me at the time. Risque and Reward or Winter asked, what are you most proud of in your writing? I like to think that I am able to write kind of immersive, somewhat realistic scenarios. I don't know, you know, exactly how realistic, but, you know, this is also fiction, so But I do like to think that I am at least decently good at creating some kind of immersive experience in my script and giving a sense of like the character's background and things like that. But really what I'm proud of is that I'm doing it at all. It's incredibly nerve-wracking to write something and then post it for the public to read. And even though I have been getting really great feedback, I still get very nervous every time I post a new script. I'm like, oh no, this is it. Like, this is going to be the one that everybody hates. And then, like, then what am I going to do? And then, you know, that has yet to happen. So just the fact that I kind of keep doing it, even though it is absolutely one of the most terrifying things of my life, I'm pretty proud of that. Allie_Dreamweaver asked, do you have any dream voices, VAs, or celebrities to be your script fillers? So, honestly, I've never really paid that much attention to celebrities' voices, so I really couldn't even pick someone off the top of my head like that. I really don't know. But I do want to say that I have been incredibly, incredibly fortunate that a lot of the VAs that I would pick, not that I would name anyone because I wouldn't ever want to single someone out, and make them feel like they're pressured to fill one of my scripts, because that's not the case at all. There's absolutely no pressure to ever fill anything of mine. But I have been incredibly fortunate that a lot of the performers whose voices I like and who I would choose as the answer to this question have already filled scripts of mine, and have been incredibly lovely about it. So, really, I am not wanting for, you know, anyone specific to like find and fill my scripts, but I am very fortunate to have a lot of amazing script fills that have already been done for me. And then I have an anonymous question. Who are three script writers you like and why? I could not possibly pick only three script writers. There are so many people writing such like crazy amazing and creative stuff in this community. I have friends in the community that write all different kinds of things, and genuinely everyone is so talented and so creative and comes up with these like amazing scenarios, and it's just so impressive. So if you're looking for good scripts, like really you can just scroll through Script Guild, and at least, you know, every other one is going to be something interesting and great, if not every single one. Sometimes I scroll through there and I'm just like, wow, like everybody's really on top of their game today. Like, we're really posting some great stuff. So I think that there is something in this community for just about everyone. Okay, now I have a block of questions from Ryan. So his first one is, in general, when you write something new, do you know exactly what's going to happen, or do you set up the premise and characters and then see where they take you? So for the most part, I will set up the premise, right? Like, I'll pick whatever idea is speaking to me and I'll set everything up, and I actually have a template in Google Docs so that everything's formatted the way that I like it to be formatted. I don't have to worry about any of that. And then in like the where the body of the script would go, I outline everything that I know I want to include in the script. Sometimes that's 3 or 4 lines, sometimes it's 1.5 pages and I have the whole thing planned out and I just need to plug in the actual dialogue instead of just like the little bullet point. And then that's what I do. I just go to whatever point I feel like writing. It's not always in chronological order. It's just kind of wherever I'm feeling the mood at the time, and I'll go take that bullet point out and write that part of it. But sometimes I only have a couple of bullet points, and I definitely have been surprised at least a couple of times where a script has ended up going and how it's ended up, the characters have ended up interacting. It's not always according to plan. Sometimes it just comes to me in the moment as I'm writing it. The next one is there something specific about not safe for work writing that makes it easier for you to access your creative brain, or why do you think you gravitate to this space? So I've been writing in some capacity for a very long time, probably almost 20 years. but I've also been writing erotica in some capacity for probably at least 8 or 9 of those years. And it wasn't really something that I just kind of like started one day. I kind of eased into it from writing other things. So I don't really know what it is about erotica that appeals to me, but at this point I enjoy doing it and I am comfortable-ish doing it, so I just kind of keep doing it. This space specifically, you know, the audio aspect, I really enjoy that too, so that is what I'm doing here. The next question is, I'm aware you've written erotica in the past. What is it about writing specifically for audio content that appeals to you? And have you been surprised by any of the particular challenges relative to past endeavors? So, yes, I have written erotica in the past. Audio content specifically appeals to me. I really like performance and I like theater, and I just think it's a really immersive experience when you can listen to someone say something instead of you just reading the words on a page. So I think that really appeals to me, and learning to write scripts was a big challenge, and that also kind of appealed to me. It was a huge learning curve from what I'm used to when you're used to writing, you know, fiction and these big flowery paragraphs with lots of description and things like that, and then you go from that type of writing to writing dialogue only from one side of the conversation, and for someone to speak out loud. It is definitely a way different type of writing, and it definitely was difficult at first for me to just not have like the speaker just be narrating everything, which narratives are great if you're writing them that way, but if you're not writing it that way, it's, you know, you don't just want the speaker to narrate everything that's going on, that you want to make it an immersive experience. So that definitely was a learning curve. I by no means think that I am an expert at that. I'm still learning a lot. I have only been doing this for a couple of months, but I am getting better at it, and it is getting a little bit easier for me to do. The next one is, in safe for work media that you consume, do you gravitate toward the kinds of stories you write, love stories, rom-coms, relationships, or do you prefer different kinds of stories? So for the most part, yeah, I do gravitate toward, you know, rom-coms and romantic things and love stories and things like that. I do consume a little bit more fantasy. I like a little bit of fantasy, not a ton, and I don't consider myself particularly well-versed in it, so I'm not sure if I ever will write fantasy or very much of fantasy, just because I'm not really sure I could do it justice, but I do enjoy reading some fantasy stuff. And then the last question from Ryan is, there's a lot of humor that arises incidentally in your writing. Are these planned, accidental, sought out, and do you seek out funny content yourself on GWA? So first of all, thank you for finding humor in some of my scripts. There are little things that I kind of put in there that will just occur to me while I'm writing and make me laugh, so I throw it in. I don't consider myself to be a particularly comedic person, but every once in a while something will make me laugh. For example, my only current Safe for Work script is called Something Something Spoons, and when I wrote that script, I was feeling terrible that day. I really wasn't feeling well, and I knew I wanted the title to be about spoons because the speaker talks about spooning and they talk about the spoon theory. So a lot of times when I'm writing, if I don't have a title in mind, I'll just kind of put a silly filler title, and that was the silly filler title, was Something Something Spoons. And then every time I saw that title, it made me laugh. So once I was done with the script, I decided, you know, it makes me laugh and it kind of explains what's going on, so let's just leave it. So yeah, mostly it's just stuff that like makes me laugh to myself alone in my house while I'm writing. So I appreciate that other people are finding those things funny and appreciating them. Okay, I have a couple of other questions that are kind of GWA related. So the first one is from Winter. It says, "What's a trope you'd like to see more of?" Obviously, I think there can never be enough like well-written friends to lovers type of things. That's my favorite trope. I have said that probably 1,000 times, and if you've read anything I've written, you know that that's what I really enjoy. So other people probably think there's way too much friends to lovers type of stuff happening, but I really love it. Mr. Tinkles asks, "What GWA tags are you most drawn to, and which do you wish there were more of?" So I tend to be drawn to like your BFE type of tags, anything like slice of life, any of the like harder tags, I'm probably not gonna click on unless like it seems to be something that I think I would enjoy, or if it's one of my friends and I want to support them, I will sometimes listen to something that's more outside my comfort zone and what I enjoy, just to like try new things and support my friends. But for the most part, it's the softer tags that always get me, which is probably not surprising to anyone. But yeah, I think there could always be more softer stuff on GWA. Logosomancer asked, "Do you have any GWA goals? What do you want to try over the next few months or year?" So I'm not really sure. I don't really have anything set in stone that it's like I really want to do XYZ thing. I would like to continue to, improve my writing skills and grow as a script writer. I would like to try to push my boundaries a little bit and challenge myself a little more, just get outside my comfort zone and write things that are a little bit different. And, this is an audio-based community, so maybe one day I will try my hand at audios. I'm not really sure yet. It is extremely nerve-wracking for me to think about, but I do think about it from time to time, and it, never say never. And then Bonsoir Anxiety asked, "What has been your favorite thing about your GWA experience so far?" 100% the people. Every single person, I'm pretty sure every single person I've interacted with in this community has been so kind and supportive and welcoming. And I have made so many friends here, even in just the short amount of time that I've been involved with GWA. I have met so many incredible people, people that I talk to every single day, people that I consider my friends, people whose, like, I support their work, they support my work. It's just the people in this community overwhelmingly have been the best part, and it was the most unexpected thing for me because I never really expected to make friends here or meet people here or be this like deeply involved in the community, if that makes sense. But I'm very glad I am. Okay, we're gonna go ahead and get into section two, which is the more personal questions. Most people submitted more than one question, so I'm going to just kind of break it down by person and go through and answer some of these. So the first set of questions is from Shins, bruised underscore Shins. So his first question is, "Do you consider yourself an adventurous eater, and what foods do you find disgusting and do not understand their popularity?" So I don't really consider myself an adventurous eater. I'm pretty picky, and I tend to know what I like and don't like. If it's something I've absolutely never tried before, then I'm happy to try it. But if it's like a dish that includes ingredients that I know I don't like, then I'm not gonna eat it. I just kind of stick to the things that I know I like and occasionally try something new. As far as foods I find disgusting and don't understand their popularity, I hate cinnamon. I hate anything with cinnamon in it. I do not understand the popularity of cinnamon buns or pumpkin spice or any of that. It just does not appeal to me at all. So you will not catch me eating anything that has cinnamon in it, if I can help it. The second question is, what is the greatest live performance of any kind that you have personally witnessed? It could be a concert, a play, or even a street performer. So, I was lucky enough to be able to see a musical called Be More Chill when it was on Broadway. It originally started as an off-Broadway musical. It closed off-Broadway, and then after it closed, it kind of gained popularity online. People found the soundtrack and really started kind of gaining traction again. So it eventually became popular enough that they were able to do a limited Broadway run. So I was fortunate enough to be able to sit second row, and it was absolutely amazing. I got to see it in New York with one of my very close friends. There's a song in the musical called Michael in the Bathroom. If you're not familiar with this musical or this song, you should definitely listen to it. It's fantastic. The song itself is performed by an actor named George Salazar, who's amazing. And getting to sit second row and just watch him perform that song, I'm pretty sure I cried the entire time. Although, to be fair, I was 8 months pregnant when I went up to New York to see it, so that may have been contributing to my mental state. But it was truly one of the greatest experiences of my life. And yeah, that's definitely the top one so far. And then the third question is, did you consider yourself attractive when you were growing up? And at what point did you feel comfortable in your own skin? So no, I did not consider myself attractive when I was growing up. I was kind of a weird, goofy type of kid. I didn't have great fashion sense as a kid. And even like as a teenager and young adult, it was really difficult for me. I really didn't start feeling really comfortable in my own skin until I started doing all of this on GWA and kind of getting into the community and realizing that, you know, there's a lot of different types of people out there who like a lot of different types of things. So it was kind of an awakening for me as far as being more confident with myself. But the big thing was that really turned the corner for me in even allowing me to have that confidence was when I was 16, I got plastic surgery. I had a nose job. I did have to get surgery on my sinuses and my septum and stuff anyway. But while they were in there, they did do some cosmetic work. And the reason that I'm mentioning that is because I feel like plastic surgery can be kind of a taboo subject, especially when you're talking about someone who's a teenager. But it was really a defining part of my appearance that I had a lot of trouble coming to terms with. So that really changed things for me as far as my perspective of myself. So yeah, that is a thing that not everyone knows, but yeah, so I really just started feeling really confident though within the past maybe 6 months, 8 months. The next set of questions is from Sloth215. So the first one is sun, moon, and rising signs. I am an Aquarius sun, I am a Sagittarius moon, and I am a Gemini rising. I am a little bit into astrology. There are people out there who are way, way, way smarter than me about stuff like that. I don't really know a whole lot. I just kind of subscribe to the whole idea, and I think it can say a lot about a person. The next question is, would you rather be an expert at one thing or be good at many things? And if you could only be good at one thing, what would it be? So I would rather be good at many things, I think. Being an expert at something seems a little bit stressful. I feel like there's a lot of responsibility when you are that good at one thing. And I don't really need to be that good at any one given thing, so it would be nice to kind of just be kind of good at a lot of things. But if I could only be good at one thing, it would probably be like comforting people and cheering people up. I really like to try to make sure that the people in my life are happy and feeling good as much as I can. So if that was the only skill I could have, then that would be okay, I think. Sloth and Sleepy_B both asked, what's your go-to karaoke song? So I've never actually done karaoke. I feel like people ask this question, but I feel like I don't know a lot of people who just like go do karaoke like that. I sing a lot of Broadway show tunes when I'm alone in my house, but my favorite to sing is probably Easy as Life from Aida. I just love the like power and emotion in that song, and it can be fun to sing. The next question is, what type of music do you like? I'm going to give the real generic answer and say I like all kinds of music, because I really do. I'm able to find some things I like in pretty much every genre I've ever listened to. But for the most part, I listen to things like a little bit of pop and like indie type stuff, but really it's mostly just musicals and things like that. Most of my playlists are pretty Broadway heavy, so that's my like preferred thing to listen to. The next one is, are you a superstitious person? And the answer is a little bit. As a kid, I was really superstitious, and a lot of that has kind of translated over into adulthood. There are things that I'm just so used to avoiding that I just still avoid them. Things like I was always told putting a hat on a table is bad luck, so I've just now subconsciously don't put hats on tables. So I'm less worried about it, but I do still do a lot of those things just out of force of habit. So kind of superstitious. The next set of questions is from Winter, or Risque and Reward is their username. So the first one is, what's your favorite dessert? And I really went back and forth about this one, because my favorite dessert is banana cream pie, and it is very difficult to find for some reason where I live, and I don't want to make it. So I'm always kind of like keeping my eye out for it. My family knows to keep their eye out for it. If they see banana cream pie, like buy it for me, because I don't get to have it very often. So the next question is, what's a song that you listen to that cheers you up? So I have different songs for when I'm kind of in different moods, but a song that never fails to cheer me up is by Mika. It's called We Are Golden. For some reason, that song just always puts me in a great mood, no matter how I'm feeling. Even if I have to play it like a couple of times, it always makes me feel happy and puts me in a great mood. And then the next one is, what's your favorite season? This one isn't a trap, I promise. Because winter. Fall is probably my favorite season. I used to really love summer, but now I have trouble with the heat, so summer can be kind of hit or miss for me. I can't really do a lot of the things that I used to like to do in the summer, like spend time outside, things like that when it's hot. But fall is nice because it's not too cold yet, and it's cool enough that I can usually go outside and do some things, and you have Halloween, and we're like headed toward Christmas and things like that. So, okay, the next set of questions is from Chelsea. So the first one is, what does your perfect day look like? So my perfect day would probably involve not getting out of bed, possibly at all, having some kind of food brought to me, probably pizza, and just kind of like maybe doing some writing, maybe watching some TV, just kind of relaxing. I might take a nap, just like a day where I don't have responsibilities or have to do anything. Probably wouldn't even leave my house. I'm kind of a homebody anyway, and just being like left alone for a day and not having to do anything for anyone or help anyone with anything or take care of anything would be kind of nice. The second question is, what are your favorite books? So obviously the Harry Potter series have always been a favorite of mine, but there are two other books that come to mind when I get asked this question. So the first one is Phantom by Susan Kay. It's a fan fiction, really, but it's a book, and it goes throughout the life of the Phantom of the Opera. And if you don't know, I'm a huge Phantom of the Opera fan. It is my favorite musical of all time. So it's a really interesting take on Eric and how he came to be the Phantom and like all the things that he may have gone through in his life. And it's just really interesting to me. I really like it. And then the other book that I really like, it is the first book in a series of, I think, 7. I don't really love the whole series. Some of them are kind of spin-off books. But the first book in the series, it's called Homecoming by Cynthia Voigt. And my 6th grade teacher, I remember, read it out loud to us, like, over the course of probably at least a couple of weeks, because she would just read, like, a little bit each day. And I've read it at least annually since. I don't really know what it is about that book that I love so much. I don't know if it's just the nostalgia or what it is necessarily in that book that resonates with me, but it's just a really interesting and cute book. If you've never read it, I definitely recommend it. So check that out. Those are my favorite books. And then the third question is, any quotes that you kind of live your life by? I don't have any that are kind of like overarching that, like, oh, I've always lived my life by this quote, but my recent favorite is, if I'm too much, go find less. So I try to keep that in mind as I go about my life. Then I got a couple of questions that were not questions. Well, I guess they're kind of questions, but really they're just people saying nice things to me. So Winter asked how I'm the coolest and sweetest person. X_Leah asked why I'm cute. And Ivan, whose username I will not even attempt to pronounce, asked if we can be best friends. All of you are very sweet. Thank you for submitting these questions. I do appreciate all of that. Okay, now I have a couple of questions that were kind of like one-off questions, so I'm just going to kind of run through them individually. I got an anonymous question that says, is there such a thing as too much kissing? I don't know if this was supposed to be script related or life related, but regardless, the answer is no. Sleepy_B asked my thoughts on pineapple on pizza. You can order that if you want, but I am not going to have any. I will order something else and you can eat your fruit pizza and I will eat my non-fruit pizza and we can still be friends, but I'm not gonna eat that. Pepper, or the Kinky Celt, asked what is my ideal holiday destination, and she's probably gonna laugh because my answer is Ireland. I would love to go to Ireland. I'd love to go to Scotland and Wales, and just like all of that sounds fantastic to me. I also would really like to go, I think, to New Zealand. It just seems like a really beautiful place, and I think it would be fun and interesting. And then Cam asked if I have a favorite piece of art. It could be a painting, piece of music, film, or whatever, and if so, what is it? So I decided to stick more toward like quote-unquote traditional art, and not music or film, because that was just too many options for me to think about. But I do have a favorite piece of art. It is a sculpture by Edgar Degas. It's the 14-year-old girl dancer sculpture. I've seen it, like, the name formatted a bunch of different ways, but for some reason I've always really liked Degas and I've always really liked that sculpture. I mean, I did a little bit of dance as a kid, but I'm not a dancer at all. And I don't even really have a particular affinity for the ballet, but for some reason I've always just really liked his art. So that sculpture, I just really like it. I think it's nice. And then I have a question here from GED Audio. It says, right, putting Andrew Lloyd Webber aside for now, which, first of all, we're not doing that, but continue. Stephen Sondheim, Bertolt Brecht, Richard O'Brien, and Joe Mastroff, rank them, I will be judging. So I will tell you that I had to Google at least one of these people. I will not tell you who or how many. And I'm not going to go into detail about why I am ranking them this way. So prepare yourself to judge, because the answer is obviously Sondheim is first. Then Mastroff, then O'Brien, then Brecht. I will not be taking questions about that at this time. Okay, that is all the questions that I have time to answer. So thank you to everybody for submitting questions to me. I really appreciate all of your interest and support. And once again, you know, thank you for following me and supporting my writing and what I'm doing. I will talk to you guys later. Bye.